my God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the stars. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Marley was dead, to begin with. There's no doubt whatever about that. He was as dead as a doornail. And yet Scrooge had never painted out old Marley's name. There it stood, years afterwards, above the warehouse door. Scrooge and Marley. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek. It stiffened his gait and made his eyes red and his thin lips blue. And he spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice. Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. The door of his dingy office was open that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who in a dismal little cell beyond was copying letters.
Last Michaelmas, you have owed me 11 shillings and 3 pence. If this amount is not paid with interest...
Merry Christmas, Uncle! Merry Christmas, Bob.
A Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
A very Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Remember.
Christmas, a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, I'm sure.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Come then, what right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Humbug.
Oh, don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? What's Christmas to you but a time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Uncle.
If you keep Christmas in your way, then let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good it has ever done you.
There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say, Christmas among the rest. But I've always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pockets, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. And I say God bless it.
Well spoken, Mr. Fred. God bless
it. Let me hear another sound from you, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Yes, sir.
As for you, nephew, you're quite a powerful speaker. Wonder you don't go into Parliament.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow.
I'd sooner see you in... Cratchit, what are you doing?
I was only putting a bit more coal on the fire, Mr. Scrooge. Seeing your nephew came in, and it's so cold...
More coal, indeed. Put it back in the scuttle.
Yes,
sir. Uncle, why will you not have dinner with us?
Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. That's the only thing in the world more ridiculous than a Merry Christmas.
Nay, Uncle. But you never came to see me before that happened. Why give it as a reason for not coming now?
Good afternoon.
I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry to find you so resolute, but I've tried, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Humbug.
And a Happy New Year, too.
Good afternoon.
A Merry Christmas to you, Bob, and to Mrs. Cratchit and Tiny Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Fred, and a very Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Nonsense. Twaddle. Flummery. Not 2 sixpences to jingle together in their pockets and talking about a Merry Christmas?
shivering Bob Cratchit, in letting Scrooge's nephew out, had let another person in. He was a portly gentleman, pleasant to behold, who stood with his hat off in the fast darkening office. With books and papers in his hands, he bowed to Scrooge.
Scrooge and Marley's, I believe. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley's been dead these 7 years. Died 7 years ago this very night.
Then I have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
I wish I could say they were not, but they are, sir.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
I'm very glad to hear it. I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
They scarcely furnish Christmas cheer to the multitude, Mr. Scrooge. That is why a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund for the poor and destitute. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas. I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I've mentioned. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
But many can't go there, sir, and many would rather die.
If they'd rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I don't know for a fact that all you say is true.
But you might know it someday, Mr. Scrooge.
It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, sir.
I quite understand, Mr. Scrooge. Good afternoon.
Cratchit! Show this gentleman out.
Yes, sir. This way, sir, please. I couldn't help overhearing, sir. I should like to contribute threepence. It's all I can afford, but if there are others in worse situation than I...
Most gracious. I wish I might say the same of your employer.
He has a good heart, I'm sure.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir.
Close that door! Shut out that infernal cat of Ollie!
Yes, sir. A good day, sir, and a Merry Christmas.
The same to you.
You finished copying the letters?
Yes, sir.
Full of errors, I assume.
Oh, no, sir.
You'll want the entire day tomorrow, I suppose.
If quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient. It's not fair. If I was to stop half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound.
Well,
and yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
It's only once a year, sir.
Once a year, indeed? Poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. And I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier next morning.
Oh, I will, sir. I will indeed. Good night, sir. And if I may, sir, Merry Christmas.
Bah.
The office was closed in a twinkling, and Bob Cratchit, with the long ends of his white comforter dangling below his waist, went down a slide on Cornhill 20 times in honor of its being Christmas Eve. And then ran home to Camden Town as hard as he could pelt to play with his family at Blind Man's Buff. Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern. And having read all the newspapers and beguiled the rest of the evening with his banker's book, went home to bed. He lived in gloomy chambers which had once belonged to his deceased partner, Marley. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, was fain to grope with his hands until he could find the door.
The door seems to move every time.
Now it is a fact that there was nothing at all particular about the knocker on the door, except that it was very large. Let it also be borne in mind that Scrooge had not bestowed one thought on Marley since his last mention of his dead partner that afternoon.
Where on earth is that key?
And then let any man explain how it happened that Scrooge, having his key in the lock of the door, saw in the knocker Marley's face. Marley's face. With ghostly spectacles turned up upon its ghostly forehead. and though the eyes were wide open, they were perfectly motionless. That, in its livid color, made it horrible. To say that Scrooge was not startled would be untrue. But he put his hand upon the key and turned it sturdily. He walked in and lighted his candle. He did look cautiously behind the door.
It's all right.
He did pause before he shut it.
Poo-poo.
As he closed the door, it resounded through the house like thunder. Up Scrooge went, not caring a button for the darkness. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. But before he shut his inner door, he walked through his rooms to see that all was right. Sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be.
Nothing wrong here.
Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa. A small fire in the grate.
Nice fire.
Nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet, nobody in his dressing gown, which hung in a suspicious attitude against the wall.
Getting stupid.
Quite satisfied, he closed his door and locked himself in. Double locked himself in. And thus secured against surprise, he took off his cravat, put on his dressing gown and slippers and his nightcap, and sat down before the fire to take his gruel.
Now I can be comfortable. Marley? Marley? I could have sworn I saw old Marley's face in my fireplace. Humbug. Hey, what's that? Someone's in the wine cellar. Oh, the door's locked. Double locked. But something is. It's coming closer. Outside my door. I won't believe it. It's humbug. It's the...
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, no. What do you want with me? Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
You're very particular for a ghost. All right, then. Who were you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
But you're dead. 7 years this very night.
You don't believe in me.
I do not.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blob of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are. Mercy. Dreadful apparition. Why do you trouble me?
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do. I must. But why do you walk the earth? Why do you come to me? Why don't you answer me? Why do you walk the earth? Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death, to witness what it cannot share but might have shared on earth and turn to happiness.
You are fettered. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard of my own free will. And of my own free will, I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you?
Eh.
Or would you know the weight and length of the coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago, Ebenezer. You have labored on it since.
Jacob. Oh, Jacob Marley, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give, nor can I tell you what I would. All captive, bound, and double-ironed, not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunities misused. Yet, such was I.
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business. Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business.
Jacob, don't take on so.
Hear me. My time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard upon me. Don't be flowery, Jacob, pray.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate, Ebenezer.
You were always a good friend to me, Yankee.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
Is that my chance and hope?
It is.
Then I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over with, Jacob?
Look to see me no more. And look that for your own sake, you remember what has passed between us.
Scrooge followed to the window through which the ghost had disappeared as on the wind. The air was filled with phantoms, all wearing chains like Marley's ghost. And then, being from the emotion he had undergone, or the fatigue of the day, much in need of repose, went straight to bed without undressing and fell asleep upon the instant. When Scrooge awoke, he was endeavoring to pierce the darkness of his chamber when the chimes of a neighboring church struck a quarter. So he listened for the hour.
Expect the first when the bell tolls one. There is the hour. And nothing else.
But on the instant the bell tolled one, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. As close as I am now to you, and I'm standing in the spirit at your elbow. It was a strange figure, like a child, and yet not so like a child as like an old man. Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white with age. And yet the face had not a wrinkle in it.
Ebenezer Scrooge. I have come for you.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
What do you want of me? What business brings you here?
Your welfare.
My welfare. A night of unbroken rest would have been more...
Your reclamation, then. Take heed. Rise and walk with me.
No, not out the window, pray. I am immortal and liable to fall.
Bear but the touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, let us be all...
As the spirit spoke, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road, Scrooge recognizing every gate and post and tree.
These are the shadows of a Christmas that has been. They have no consciousness of us.
Yes, yes, I know. I was a boy here. I was bred in this place.
You recollect the way?
Recollect it? I could walk it blindfold.
Strange to have forgotten it. For so many years. Let us go on.
Some shaggy ponies trotted towards them with boys upon their backs, all in great spirits and shouting to each other. Scrooge knew and named them one by one. Why was he filled with gladness when he heard them give each other Merry Christmas as they parted for their several homes? What good had Christmas ever done to him?
They've left the school in celebration of my Christmas. But the schoolhouse is not quite deserted. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still. Look upon him.
Yes, I know.
Lonely boy.
Yes, I was a lonely boy. I wish...
Yes?
But it's too late now.
Your lip is trembling. And is that a tear upon your cheek?
No, no, nothing. There was a boy singing a carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Come, Ebenezer. My time is short.
Where now?
Come, quickly. You're older now, in the prime of life.
No, no. Spare me this.
See how your face begins to wear the signs of care and avarice. The greedy, restless motion in your eyes.
No,
please.
The fair young girl beside you, she sees it too.
To you it matters very little. Another idol has displaced me. And if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no just cause to grieve.
What idol has displaced you?
A golden one.
This is the even-handed dealing of the world?
Nay, I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one, until the master passion gain engrosses you.
Even if I have grown so much wiser, what then? I'm not changed all new.
Our contract is an old one. It was made when we were both poor, and content to be so. You were another man then.
I was a boy.
Your own feeling tells you that you were not what you are. That is why I can release you.
Have I ever sought release, Belle?
In words, no.
In what, then?
In everything that made my love of any worth or value in your sight. That is why I release you, with a full heart, for the love of him you once were.
But, Belle, I...
You may have pain in this. A very brief time, and you will dismiss the recollection of it gladly, as an unprofitable dream from which it happened well.
Spirit... Show me no more. Why do you delight to torture me?
One shadow more, Scrooge.
No, no more. I can't bear more.
You will see one more shadow. You seem to remember Bell, Ebenezer. The man, he might have been you.
By the by, Bell, I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon.
Who was it?
Yes.
How can I? Tut, don't I know? Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his office window. It wasn't shuttered and he had a candle inside. I could scarcely help seeing him. His partner lies upon the point of death, I hear. And there he sat alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Spirit, spirit, take me from this place.
I told you these were shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
Remove me. I cannot bear it. Take me back. Haunt me no longer.
I leave you now. But look for the second spirit tomorrow night when the bell tolls one. When the bell tolls one.
With the spirit's last words, Scrooge was conscious of being exhausted, and further of being in his own room. Falling back upon his bed, he sank into a heavy sleep. When Scrooge awoke, the bell again was upon the stroke of one. His room had undergone a surprising transformation. The walls and ceiling were hung with living green, and heaped upon the floor to form a kind of throne were turkeys, game, great joints of meat, plum puddings, barrels of oysters, red-hot chestnuts and cherry-cheeked apples and juicy oranges and seething bowls of punch that made the chamber dim with their delicious steam. In easy state upon this couch, there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see.
Come in and know me better, man. I'm the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me. You have never seen the like of me before.
Never. Spirit, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night on compulsion and learned a lesson which is working now.
Touch my robe. Touch my robe.
Where have you brought me, Spirit?
To the humble dwelling of your clerk, Bob Cratchit. See his wife in a twice-turned gown, and Master Peter Cratchit, and Belinda, and Martha. Alas, for Tiny Tim, he bears a crutch, and his limbs are supported by an iron frame. Look upon this family. There is happiness here.
Look at everything.
Merry Christmas to us all, my dear. God bless us.
God blesses everyone.
And God bless you too.
No, they never want such a Christmas dinner, Mother.
Never.
Has anyone had enough?
Oh, the merriest Christmas ever.
Yes, and there never was such a goose.
Never such a goose, it's so good to be home,
Father. I love you all so much.
It's good to have you here, Martha, my dear. It always is.
And how did little Tim behave in church, Robin?
As good as gold and better, Mother. He told me coming home that he hoped people saw him in the church this morning.
Why, whatever for, Tim?
Because I'm a cripple, and it might be pleasant for them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Bless you, my son.
My little Tim. God bless you.
Oh, my pudding!
The pudding!
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Oh, no. No, kind spirit. Say he will be spared.
And if he die, what then? Better to do it and decrease the surplus population.
I didn't know what I was saying. I have learned much, spirit. Let me hear more.
Oh, pudding! It's out of the copper!
Oh, what a great deal of steam!
A smell like an eating house in the pastry cook's next door, too!
Yes. And with the laundresses next door to that! Yes. Look at the brandy blaze!
And the Christmas holly stuck in the top!
The greatest success you've achieved since our marriage, my dear!
And I was so fearful about the quantity of flour!
Oh, we all did it!
What a feast! I propose a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast!
The founder of the feast. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feed on.
Dear, the children, Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I'm sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, my dear, Christmas Day.
I'll drink his health for your sake in the days, not for his. Long life to him. He'll be very happy and very merry this day, I have no doubt.
And I say, God bless him, too. And everyone.
Enough. Enough. Take me away, spirit. Let me see or hear no more.
There was nothing of high mark in this. They were not a handsome family. Their clothes were scanty. Might have known the inside of a pawnbroker's. But they were happy, grateful, pleased with one another, and contented with the time. When the bell struck 12, Scrooge looked about him for the ghost, and saw it not. Upon the last stroke of 12, Scrooge remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting up his eyes, beheld a solemn phantom, draped and hooded, coming like a mist along the ground. Scrooge bent down upon his knee, for in the very air through which this spirit moved, it seemed to scatter gloom and mystery, and filled him with a solemn dread.
I am in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come. ghost of the future. I fear you more than any specter I have seen. But as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be a better man than I was, I am prepared to bear you company and do it with a thankful heart. Will you not speak to me? Lead on. The night is waning fast and is precious to me, I know. Lead on, spirit. Here, on a common street, spirit, what is there for me to learn here? Yes, yes, I will listen.
I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
I thought he'd never die. What's he done with his money?
I haven't heard. He hasn't left it to me, that's all I know.
It's likely to be a very cheap funeral. Upon my life, I don't know anybody to go to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer.
I don't mind going if lunch is provided.
Oh, who should we get to go with
us? Spirit, who is this unhappy man of whom they speak? Yes, yes, I will follow. Bob Cratchit's house again? But it's so different, spirit. Why is it so quiet? So very quiet.
Mother, please. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. Oh, Martha.
Mother, dear, you mustn't. Try to be brave for Father's sake. It's almost time for him to be home.
Yes, Martha. He's so late tonight. He walks slower than he used to. And yet, I've known him to walk very fast indeed with Tiny Tim upon his shoulders.
So have I, Mother.
Oh, but he was so very light to carry. And his father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble at all.
Father. Oh, Father.
Good evening.
You're so late, Robert.
I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done you good to see how sweet and green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him we'd walk there on a Sunday.
Oh, Father, dear.
I'm trying to understand it, my dears. Oh, my little child. My little child.
That's cruel, spirit. Cruel. Tiny Tim should live. Can you not give me one ray of hope that I may change all this? Yes, yes, lead on, spirit. Merciful heavens, what is that? A churchyard overrun by grass and weeds. So many graves. Oh, spirit, answer me one question. Are these shadows of the things that will be, or are they the shadows of the things that may be only? Will you not speak to me? Is it that grave to which you point? Yes, yes, I will look. I will read the inscription. It's Ebenezer Scrooge! No, spirit. No, I'm not the man I was. Good spirit, assure me that I may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. Tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone. I beg you, spirit. Spirit, I beg you. Tell me that I can undo all the suffering I have caused.
spirit, I beg you. What's this? My bedpost. My bed. The spirit, he's gone. Oh, Jacob Marley. Heaven and the Christmas time be praised for this. I say it on my knees, old Jacob. On my knees. What day is it? I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. Hello! 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 I must open the window. Ah, golden sunlight. Heavenly bells. You there? Boy!
Yes, sir?
What is today, my fine fellow?
Today, why, it's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day? I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. Hello there, my fine fellow. Do you know the poulterers in the next street?
I should say I do.
An intelligent boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there?
The one as big as me?
Yes, my buck.
It's hanging there now.
Go and buy it. Buy it and bring it to me and I'll give you half a crown. I'll send it to Bob Cratchit. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim. There never was such a joke as sending it to Bob's, will be.
He dressed himself all in his best and at last got out into the streets. He'd not gone far when coming towards him he beheld a portly gentleman who had walked into his counting house the day before. He knew what path lay straight before him, and he took it.
My dear sir, how do you do? A Merry Christmas to you, sir. I hope you succeeded yesterday.
Mr. Scrooge?
That is my name. I fear it may not be pleasant to you, sir. Allow me to ask your pardon. And would you have the goodness to accept? I must whisper it.
Why, Lord bless me. Are you serious?
Not a farthing less. A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you. Come and see me, will you? Will you come and see me?
Oh, I will. I will indeed.
Thank you. Thank you 50 times. God bless you.
He went to church and walked about the streets and patted children on the heads and questioned beggars. He looked down into the kitchens of houses and up to the windows, and he found that everything could yield him pleasure. In the afternoon, he turned his steps toward his nephew's house and joined that happy party. But he was early at the office the next morning. Oh, he was early. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. And he did. Yes, he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. A quarter past. No Bob. And then...
Hello there, Cratchit. What do you mean by coming in late?
Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
You are? Yes, I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you please.
It's only once a year, sir. I was making rather merry yesterday.
Now, I tell you what, my friend. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore...
Mr. Scrooge, sir.
And therefore, Bob Cratchit, I'm about to raise your salary.
Why, Mr. Scrooge...
A Merry Christmas, Bob. A Merry Christmas than I've given you in many a year. Make up the fires and buy another coal scuttle before you drop another eye, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
Joy to